just happen to be reading this section about the Lal Maharaj and Trinidad as we, not because, but just in coincidence with our Nisringa Chaturdasi. So this is a verse spoken by the sainted persons after Lord Nisringadeva killed Hiranyakashipu. Sri Vishaya Uchahu Tvam Nastapa Padamam Matayad Atmatejo Yenedam Adi Purushatmagatam Sasartha Tad Vipralutam Amunadya Sharanyapala Rakshagrihita Vahushapunar Anvamamstha. All the sainted persons present in the former court of Hiranyakashipu offered their prayers in this way. O Lord, O Supreme Maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O Original Personality of Godhead, process of austerity and penance in which you instructed us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon, but now, by yourself appearing in the form of Nisringadeva, which is meant just to give us protection, and by killing this demon, you have again approved the process of austerity. Purport. This microphone is pinging, it's a little high or something. Not very high, just a little bit high. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, Krishna seems all right to you. I think it seems okay. By the way, while we're doing this check, we could also do a phone check and see that all the cell phones are tame. Living entities wandering within the jurisdiction of the 8,400,000 species of life get the opportunity for self-realization in the human form and gradually in such other elevated forms as those of the demigods, kinnaras, and charmas, as will be described below. In the higher statuses of life, beginning from human life, the main duty is tapasya, or austerity. As Rishabhdev advised his sons, tapo divyam putraka yena satvam shudyet, to rectify our material existence, austerity, tapasya, is absolutely necessary. However, when people in general come under the control of a demon, or a demoniac ruling power, they forget this process of tapasya and gradually also become demoniac. All the saintly persons who were generally engaged in austerity felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord in the form of Nisringadeva. They realized that the original instruction concerning human life, and it is meant for tapasya, for self-realization, was reaffirmed by the Lord when he killed Hiranyakashipu. Om Tumirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kala Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam. Sri Gurau Sri Dutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sadrashatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitamstam Sativam Sadvaitam Sadhatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Pitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Bhanu Kute Devi Paramahami Hori Priye Vanchako Katavujyascha Kripashambho Pyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Sri Rishi Uchu Tvam nastapa paramam atayadatma tejo yenedam adi purushatma gatam sasarkta tad vipraluptam amunadya sharanyapala raksha grihita babusha andamams ta. The Hiranyakashipu had hijacked the process of austerity. The austerity is essential for human life. The Brahma creates the universe by the power of austerity. He performs austerity for so many thousands of years. But then he's endowed with the power to create the universe. The saintly persons also undergo austerity for the sake of self-realization. For the sake of self-realization, they forego material comforts so as not to become complacent in the life of material existence. They voluntarily accept discomfort, trouble, for the sake of spiritual realization. As instructed by the Lord, Ata Yat Atmateja, you instructed us in the process of austerity. Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam. You tell us how to purify our existence by the process of austerity. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord describes austerity as being one of the activities for those who want to advance in spiritual life. Oh, Mataji Lok. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
The Brahmins become powerful by austerity, Brahmateja. They get their brahminical power from austerity. And Hiranyakashipu became powerful by austerity. He observed severe austerity, standing on his toes for so many thousands of years with his arms in the air, allowing even the ants to eat away at his body, maintaining his life force just within the bones. Such austerity, who can imagine? If we take a cold shower in the morning, we consider it a great austerity. By virtue of his austerity, he became powerful. By virtue, austerity is a virtue, but duskritana, the duskritana, namam prapajante, they don't surrender to Krishna, buddha, naradam. They're described as duskriti. Kriti means meritorious. They have some good qualities. To be austere is a great quality. To cultivate knowledge is a great quality. To give charity is a great quality. There are so many good qualities. But when severed from the service of the Lord, then the good qualities become bad qualities. Duskriti. It becomes a bad quality when directly, and even the bad qualities become good when directed toward Krishna. There were some among the followers of Ramanujacharya, there were some thieves. But they were stealing for Krishna, it became a good quality. The Yudhisthira lied on the order of Krishna. It became a good quality. Any quality that might anger is generally considered very bad. Kama krodha tata lopas tasmari tatrayam tyajay. One of the gates to hell. But when Hanuman used his anger for the service of the Lord, it became a great quality. Lust is considered a very bad thing, but when the gopis developed what seemed to be lust to serve Krishna, it became a great quality. So minus Krishna, or plus Krishna, even the so-called bad qualities become good. And without Krishna, even the so-called good qualities become bad. The charity, the austerity, the sacrifice. Rikashura also was performing great sacrifice. Sacrifice is good. But he was performing it for some material power. Without any consideration of Krishna, it became dead. So Hiranyakashipu performed great tapasya. Similarly, sometimes politicians perform great tapasya. But it's not for the service of the Lord, for the service of the country, or for the service of some other cause. The scientists perform great austerities, working in their laboratories, giving up sleep, giving up everything else to achieve some scientific discovery. But when there's no connection with Krishna, then it becomes simply demonic. The businessmen undergo great trouble for the sake of making a profit. The scholars great trouble for the sake of writing their theses and publishing their books. But when there's no connection with Krishna, then these apparently good qualities become useless or become bad qualities. So Hiranyakashipu's greatness exceeded that of any ordinary living being to undergo such great austerity. But because it was directed against the service of the Lord instead of for the service of the Lord, it was demonic. And because it was demonic, it was not for the welfare of others, but for the harm, to harm others, for his own self-interest. This is the demonic quality. They're not interested in the service of Krishna. And therefore, ultimately, they're also not interested in the real, even if they show some outward interest in serving others. They don't know who the others are. So their interest is directed simply toward the material body. They take up the activities of welfare work. And so often that also is meant for getting reputation, getting votes. Not actually for the welfare, because suridam sarvabhutana, real welfare is performed when we remind people that Krishna is the actual friend of all living beings, not when we pretend that our political party is their friend, or that we're their friend of the people. The real friend is Krishna. So the Hiranyakashipu underwent great trouble, and the sages say that austerity, process of austerity, was hijacked by Hiranyakashipu. Now you've taken it back. Now you've returned it to us so that we can perform austerity under your direction. In the Bhagavad Gita also, austerity which is not performed according to the direction of the Lord is considered demonic. Taptam, what is that? Vihitam Gauram. Is there a book about Gita here? Okay. See if I can find it now. Exactly where that is. Shastra vihitam kolam tapyante ye tapojana tam ha hankara sangyukta kamaraga balanvita karshayanta shariyastam bhuta grama macheta saha mam chaivantak shariyastam tam vidyasura nishchayam. Ashastra vihitam kolam. Terrible austerities, harmful to others. Ashastra vihitam, not according to Shastra. People make up their own form of austerity, or just in Malaysia they have that one festival, they put hooks into their bodies and attach a cart to the hooks and they're pulling the carts. But where is this recommended in Shastra? The Vrikasura was cutting off flesh from his body to offer into the sacrificial fire. Where was this recommended? In Shastra.
What verse is that, Maharaj? What verse?
It's 17.4. 17.5 and 6. So Shastra Vihita, although it's austerity, It's not according to the direction of Shastra, and therefore it's considered demonic. Hiranyakashipu wasn't directed by Shastra. You perform these austerities to please Lord Brahma. So Shastra Vitam Kodam, it becomes a horrible thing. Tapyante yeta pojana kamara dabhahankara samyukta kamaraga balandita. Why are the demons performing such great austerity? It's not out of a desire for spiritual realization. It's not out of a desire to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamaraga balandita. It's by the force of kama, material desire, and raga, material attachment.
Kama raga, or how does Prabhupada
give raga here? Yeah, attachment. Lust, attachment. Hiranyakashipu wanted to live forever. Karshayanta sriyastam bhutagramam ajetasa. These fools, ajetasa, karshayanta sriyastam bhutagramam, they torture the elements of the body. They torture the elements of the body. Unnecessary heavy fasting, unnecessary self-torture. And mam jaivanta sharirastam, they torture me also. Sometimes we wonder, how is it that they should be torturing Krishna? Because Krishna is within the body. But Prabhupada said, when the living entity is in the body of a hog, it doesn't mean that he becomes a hog. The living entity takes the body of a hog, and the Lord as Supersoul goes with him. But the Lord is not in the same condition as the living entity. He is transcendental. Then how is it said that the demons are torturing the Lord? The Lord is not affected by the pain inflicted on the material body. But the acharyas have commented, Srila Prabhupada's commented, that torture means that the Lord is the affectionate father of all living beings, aham bija pradapita. And the Lord feels pain to see how this rascal is misusing his valuable human form of life. Instead of advancing in Krishna consciousness, he's simply torturing himself for material advancement. The karmis are torturing themselves. They work hard like asses, so hard, simply for some economic development, simply for getting money, or for some material achievement. The athletes are trying to achieve victory and kicking a ball around. Or, in so many ways, the people are undergoing a severe austerity. But forgetting the real purpose of life, they're torturing themselves for nothing. The Lord feels very sorry to see how these fools are inflicting pain on themselves and missing the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, to engage with him in loving dealings, to go back home, back to Godhead. That opportunity is there, and austerity for that purpose would be very good. But they are performing austerities to get nothing, to get something which will be stolen away in course of time.
So the Lord feels very sorry. He feels very sorry to see how these fools are working. So the devotees also undergo austerity for the sake of saving the conditioned souls. The Lord is very eager for their deliverance from material existence. And so the devotees undertake austerities for the sake of delivering them. To take trouble to distribute books is austerity. Sometimes devotees undergo severe austerity to give people the opportunity to read these books. Sometimes devotees undertake severe austerities to build a temple for Krishna or to preach the message of Krishna to the fallen souls. But that austerity is performed in accordance with the Shastra, in accordance with direction of the spiritual master, and for the right purpose, for the sake of Krishna consciousness. So Hiranyakashipu's austerity was not appreciated. His austerity earned him death only. His austerity earned him his death. But the sages were praising the Lord that you gave the process of austerity. And now again, we can perform austerities for your pleasure. The process was disrupted by Hiranyakashipu. But now again, we can take it up. Of course, the Lord was not, their prayers were not sufficient to satisfy the Lord. The demigods before them had also prayed. Indra had prayed, Brahma had prayed. Goddess of Fortune had prayed to the Lord. But the Lord was so angry that he couldn't be pacified by anyone. But finally the Lord was pleased by the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj on account of Prahlad's being a pure devotee. Okay, maybe we'll stop here and see what kind of questions there might be. Hare Krishna.
How we can make a judgment that actually we're doing all activities for Krishna, or we really doing all activities for ourselves, or?
How can you see whether your austerities are for yourself or for Krishna?
How can we make a judgment for ourselves?
How
we can make a judgment for ourselves?
Is it difficult? You have to see, is it for my satisfaction or Krishna's satisfaction? Is it according to the direction of Shastra or the spiritual master? Or is it my own idea? Some concocted thing. What's the goal of my austerity? These things you can... Is it hard to see?
Sometimes we might be thinking, I'm doing for Krishna, but it might be my own for ego, or
Yes. Of course, first we have to see what is the goal. Sometimes we do something and there's some element of false ego. We're thinking that people will see that I did it. Still, if I did it for the sake of carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master, then it's not condemned. All right, some ego was there, some pride was there, some desire for fame or adoration was there. But it was still to carry out the instructions of Krishna or the instructions of the spiritual master. The humble person who performs something unwanted is not very much appreciated. Or he may be very much appreciated, but not by the pure devotees. Although he may be very humble, or although he may be very gentle, although he may be endowed with all good qualities. If it's not to satisfy Krishna, then shamevihi kevalam, then it's a waste of time. And Prabhupada spoke strongly about the so-called welfare workers, the good people who are doing something which is not meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. Their efforts are compared to the decoration of the dead body. It's very nice that people are very carefully, very attentively doing shringar of the dead body. And because it's a dead body, finally, you know, what is the use of their devoted efforts? So those who are giving their devoted efforts for some material cause, even if it's performed in a very humble mood, a very gentle mood, are missing the point. And those who are carrying out the directions of the spiritual master, even if there may be some element of pride, are at least working for the right cause. And therefore, it's expected that gradually they'll be purified of that sense of false prestige, that sense of accomplishing something by their personal power. And we'll recognize that actually it's Krishna's power. And they'll come from the point of desiring to do something for their own ends, to simply wanting to satisfy Krishna. Well, Krishna sometimes himself arranges things in such a way that because the devotee is a little proud, Krishna cuts him down. And maybe it appears that now the devotee has been humiliated, or now he's been dragged down. But it's mercy from Krishna to purify the heart. Or sometimes Krishna may not tear him down. He'll just be free from those unwanted things. Nashta prayeshu vajreshu. The example is there. Sometimes someone becomes attracted to Krishna to steal from him. The thief was hearing Krishna is decorated with such nice, beautiful ornaments. So I could find Krishna and steal those ornaments. That would be very good. But because it was Krishna, he became purified. Yes?
Maharaj, the scientists invented medicines, computers, airplanes, satellites, and even devotee uses it. How he says that by healing and
coming. Yes, Prabhupada said, was asked one time that if you're against materialism, then why are you flying in this airplane? And Prabhupada said, just so it won't be completely useless.
So they get the benefit by using
it. Yes. When the devotees use the useless thing, or the thing created for a useless purpose, then the so-called inventor becomes benefited also. That my rascal invention is being used for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we don't require. We'll carry on without their material inventions. And sometimes they're very proud. They've developed some medical art, and it can save one from this, save one, but everyone still dies. And they save them. Now I've saved your life, and you go on with your rascality. What's really the benefit? You were going to die at the age of 20. Now, because of our medicine, you'll die at the age of 50. But it's the same thing. You're going to die. And I gave you 30 years more in which to perform your useless activities. So, in this way they carry on. But only devotees. devotees use these things, then it has value.
When you were saying that sometimes Krishna will cut down the person full of pride, you know, humiliate them to purify them, it reminded me of the problem I have with the Indra story, King Indra, when Krishna curbed his pride, you know, after the Govardhan thing. And Krishna, you know, wanted to impress upon him that, you know, you are not supreme, you get your powers from me. You know, and he was like, in this, you know, in the story that, you know, Krishna was, seemed to have been emphasizing his superiority. And it resembled what goes on sometimes in the material world where, you know, somebody who's superior wants the subordinate to know, you know, that I am the top dog, not you. And so, how is Krishna's mood one of compassion rather than, you know, I mean, obviously Krishna is the supreme, whereas the person, the materialistic person, he's not. But, you know, how is his treatment of Indra one of compassion by putting him in his place like that?
That's good for him. In the army also, in boot camp, they humiliate the soldiers. They put them through all sorts of trouble. But the result is that when he's actually out on the battlefield, he's trained, he knows. I have to do this, I have to do that, as if it were automatic. Because it's been drilled into him. It may seem that the sergeant is simply being egotistical, getting pleasure from bossing these soldiers around. But later, the soldier may appreciate that because of the training I got from the sergeant, he survives in such difficult circumstances. To awaken a fool from illusion is an act of mercy. Pride is the enemy of the conditioned soul. It's a disease of the conditioned soul. So it seems that Krishna is simply being, of course, from one point of view, even in the, we don't like it very much when the boss is saying, listen, I'm the boss. These days especially, we want to have collaborative efforts. We want to have teams. We want to have the sense that everybody is a valued contributor. And this is sort of the, yes, this is the spirit. But sometimes works the other way in an organization. Listen, I'm the boss. If you don't like it, get yourself and find yourself another job. You're not the boss. You're the worker. You're not getting paid to run the organization. I'm getting paid to run the organization. Do your job. And that's also valid. Although it may not be the most appreciated management style, especially in the present day. But it's valid. It's a fact. Everyone has to perform his own duty. When it's your duty to manage the corporation, we'll call for you. But at the moment, your duty is to deliver the mail. So deliver the mail and don't try to be the head of the organization. No, I'm the boss. Of course, when the conditioned souls show this propensity, very often they show their foolishness, because sometimes the subordinate knows more than the boss does. And if the boss had a more humble mood, he would then, there's so many examples. Some puffed up person thinks he knows everything, and he's
can't listen to advice. He thinks, who is this guy? Who's this guy? Some Brahmin, especially the puffed up materialistic heads of state. Why should I listen to this egghead? Egghead is a slang term for an intellectual. Why should I listen to this egghead? What has he ever accomplished? Why should I listen to this guy? Why should I listen to that guy? Ishroham Hambogi Sitoham Malavasuki. I'm perfect. I know what I'm doing. No one can tell him anything. The old king will no longer listen to advice and brings destruction upon himself. But from another point of view, he's entitled. It is his position. So when we assert our superiority, we're fools. Even if we're rightly asserting our superiority, we're fools, because what is my superiority? Tomorrow I'll just be knocked off by time, and now I'm the top dog. But Krishna is the superior person, supreme authority. When he shows that himself in that role, it's true. And if the living entity, when the living entity recognizes that it's Krishna who's the supreme authority, the living entity benefits. As long as Indra is thinking, my universe, I am the controller of the thunderbolt, I am this, I am that, he can't make any progress. So to deflate the false ego of such a person is a service for him. Or Lord Krishna to show Indra up as a fool was kindness to him. Is that okay?
How exactly does Indra benefit from recognizing that Krishna is the superior person?
How does the hand benefit from recognizing that I'm part of the body and I have to serve the body? When the hand is disconnected, it's useless. It gets no benefit from anything. When the hand is connected to the body, yeah. When the child runs away from home and thinks, I know what I'm doing, they can't tell me not to get drunk. They can't tell me not to take drugs. They can't tell me. They don't. Why should I listen to them? And he makes himself into a, what's the word? A bum. So it's for his own kindness, for his own benefit, that he's brought to his senses. Listen, kid, you're just a punk on the street. You're thinking you're hot stuff. You're just a punk. If he comes to his senses that I'm just being a punk, I'm a fool. I should. I come from a good family. I should work with me in cooperation with my family, not be an independent fool. That's his good fortune. Yes.
So, what point the austerity is for the devotee? At what time do they stop being in austerity?
At what time do they?
At what point the austerity that we do in Krishna consciousness is stop being in austerity?
At what point do the austerities we take up in Krishna consciousness stop being austerities?
Yeah.
Beneficial, maybe. I wonder if you meant, at what point do they stop being beneficial? Or?
Not beneficial, but
what's not anymore for us, like, it's not going to be a performing now, won't be austerity no more for us, like, it's like.
Yes, what feels like austerity in the beginning becomes happiness.
becomes happiness. Brahmasokyam Tvanantam. In Aruta's book also, she was saying that you teach the child to live a life of austerity, but actually it becomes an adventure for him, or it becomes happiness for him. Not feeling it. Radhika Raman was saying that if we went out someplace, we were told, you know, not to take their food because it's not offered to Krishna, it's prasadam. So it seems like it's an austerity, but we were considering it like a deal that we had with Krishna, that because I'm your devotee, I'm not going to eat this rubbish. So it was like a, you know, when you have a secret pact with a friend, you have an agreement. So these rascals may eat whatever they want, but we're your devotees, we're not going to eat this rubbish. So for them it was a kind of a secret pleasure that we're not eating your rubbish because we're Krishna's devotees, because we're trying to, we only take prasadam, we're trying to please Krishna. So it may seem like an austerity, oh, you're not eating this, you're not eating that, but it actually becomes a source of pleasure. I don't have to eat their rubbish, or I skipped their rubbish because I wanted to please Krishna. It becomes a source of satisfaction. Or the book distributors are undergoing trouble for the sake of distributing books, but it becomes a source of pleasure, actually. And later they'll remember, yeah, we had no place to take bath, so we took bath in the snow. It may seem at the time like an austerity, but when remembered later, it becomes a source of pleasure. We were so crazy that we were taking bath in the snow so that we could go out and distribute books. So it's remembered later as pleasure. They see what?
The pure devotees.
Yes.
The activities, they see them as an austerity. Do the activity that they perform, do they see at some point, oh, I want to do some austerities? Or do they feel...
They may. Sometimes they may think, we know that to fast on Ekadasi is an austerity, but we may look forward to that on, oh, tomorrow will be Ekadasi, I get to perform some austerity. The materialists look forward to Sunday. On Sunday I can sleep till noon. And maybe I'll have my breakfast in bed. But they look forward to that. Or now the weekend is coming and I'll get to party all night, and then the next morning, of course, I'll be out of touch with everything. They look forward to that. I'll be in the mode of ignorance. I'll be in the mode of passion. Now, of course, they don't think of it that way, but they're looking forward to the opportunity to act in passion and ignorance. So the devotee looks forward to accepting, or he's happy to accept some austerity. Or he thinks that I'm accepting some austerity, but this is nothing compared to what I would have to undergo in materialistic life. This austerity is just a little trouble compared to the trouble of dragging on in material existence. This is nothing. The patient is happy to undergo a little austerity for the sake of getting rid of greater suffering. Or even if he's not happy about it, he thinks still better this than that. We may not always think, ooh, great, an austerity. Sometimes we feel some austerity. Still, the devotee would rather undergo this austerity than that austerity. Thank you. Something else?
Because austerity become at a point that it is too much for a person, and if he does it, it may be detrimental. Devotional austerity.
Yeah. One thing is if it's, again, not prescribed by Shastra.
No, it is according to the Shastra.
Then sometimes if it's not approved by the spiritual master, it may be in this Shastra, but does the spiritual master approve? Yeah. Then although it may be in the Shastra, if it's disapproved by the spiritual master, then it's not good. No, it's in Shastra, I'll do it. And one becomes over-intelligent. There's so many medicines in the medical shop, they're all approved by the Food and Drug Administration. But it doesn't mean, therefore, that I'll go to the pharmacy and ask for the most powerful medicine, and it will therefore benefit me. That may not be the right medicine for me. Just that something's approved by Shastra is not sufficient. There's so many things that are approved by Shastra that we don't do.
Even approved by Shastra and also the spiritual master, or it is beyond our capacity.
Well, to be a little beyond our capacity is sometimes good. Not the disciples should just easily say, oh, you know, can't expect me to do that. That would be too much austerity. If he voluntarily undergoes trouble, just like Krishna, he was collecting firewood for the spiritual master. Even when the storm came up, he was engaged in that way. But he didn't think, wait, I'm the Supreme Personality of God, and why should I be carrying this heavy wood around? No, it's for the spiritual master. But there is such a thing as over and down. Perhaps Rupa Goswami describes.
Tihara glasses.
Tihara
glasses.
Over and down. The nectar of devotion said one should not. Over. Bite off more than he can chew. But that's practical advice. In general, we should try to do more than we, they say, to get out of your comfort zone, to undergo some trouble, to surpass what I thought I could do. To surpass what I thought I could do, that's favorable. And Prabhupada, for his direction to the managers, he gave that as the way to manage, always give a little more. Prabhupada was telling us, all right, now double it again. Prabhupada, how is it possible? Now 17 books. Prabhupada, that's not possible. But when the disciple rises to the occasion, that, all right, let me try it. Even though it may seem impossible, let me. It becomes glorious. We should try to undergo some trouble to satisfy him. We should be willing at least to undergo some trouble to try to satisfy him. The bona fide spiritual master.
Is it even possible for a bona fide spiritual master to instruct the disciple to do more than is really feasible? Like, you know.
Prabhupada was always telling us to do more than is feasible. Yeah, he never wanted less. Prabhupada said, that is my, what did he say? Disease or whatever. He said, I could never think small. The devotees were going through so much trouble for that Juhu project, living in the jungle, no proper water, no proper food. They even proposed to Prabhupada at one point that, Prabhupada, why are we undergoing so much trouble just to, you know, better to get a place, Wouldn't it be better just to give up this property and get a property downtown in Bombay? More in the center of things, and we wouldn't have to sit here in the jungle. Prabhupada said, no. All right, Prabhupada, if you want it. And that's the... Although he knew, Prabhupada, that this is... They're Americans, after all. They're accustomed to living very comfortably. And even for Indians to live this way, in the middle of the jungle with no proper anything. But the higher purpose was there. Now those who performed those austerities can look back and say, yes, we went through so much trouble, but it was nice.
Then it sounds like that if he does, if the spiritual master does instruct like that, then it could result in the disciple making an, what is an over-endeavor, no?
It may result in over-endeavor, but again, that over-endeavor, little over-endeavor is good. Better than being complacent, some over-endeavor. But over-endeavor especially means in the context of this over-endeavor for material things. Material over-endeavor. Try to be a big man.
I mean, for a spiritual purpose.
Sometimes that's also there, to over-endeavor. But under the direction of the spiritual master, if one over-endeavors according to the spiritual master's direction or to satisfy the spiritual master, that's not bad.
And then also, at some point, Krishna helps also.
Krishna helps also.